Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and joining me today for a second interview on Healing From Within is Dr. Joseph Wenke, author of You've Got to Be Kidding and his newest book, Papal Bull. Dr. Wenke wishes to imbue readers with their own intuitive sense of pursuing life in a loving way and showing how some untruths and repetitive behaviors, indeed by the Catholic Church as well as other religions, often deny the soul and spirit to find God or the universal source of life in their own way. And that's without prejudice, restrictions, or fears, and coercion by enforced man-made belief systems that may serve an antiquated view of God, which does sometimes deny freedom of self-discovery, individualized thought, and free will. Hello, Dr. Wenke.
Hi, Cheryl. Great to be back with you again.
Joe, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, the show offers, through the experiences, research, and multidimensional views of authors and guests from all types of metaphysical studies, from religion, science, medicine, and the arts, exposure to questions about life and death, while attempting to offer the means for self-investigation, self-mastery of emotions and behaviors, and also offering a means for change that are often inevitable and very often desirable in the continued evolution of man. So the goal, of course, is to find how we may create our lives in a more open-minded, therefore healthier way. Let me tell our listeners a little about you, Joe. Dr. Wenke was born the oldest of 11 children in a strict Catholic family in South Philadelphia and attended a long line of Catholic schools, including the University of Notre Dame. He received an MA in English from Penn State and a PhD in English from the University of Connecticut. In his study of the Catholic Church, its history, practices, and beliefs, with equal parts revelation, inquisition, and humor, he hopes to rekindle in readers their sense of humor so they can rethink what is presently known about the Catholic Church. I believe these inquiries apply to the way all religions work, often within a limited and narrow framework of rules from the past that often create separation from other religious theories, people, nations, and from a more conscious way of finding our true potential to thrive and to love. Joe, please tell us something about your beginning awareness and your Catholic school experiences from the 50s and 60s and the impact it had on you.
Well, the book, Papal Bull, is really a kind of memoir, and the opening is a little story about what it was like for me to grow up Catholic in those years, and then I move on to a satirical point of view that attempts to deal with a lot of the issues that I had to work through, but do it in a satirical and a funny way. And, you know, I think what happened to me was that as I was growing up and I, you know, was reaching puberty and was discovering the world and discovering myself and sexuality, there was this big conflict between what I was taught to believe and what I was experiencing. And if you go back to those days, the Catholic Church actually taught that if you had a sexual thought and you took momentary pleasure in it, that that was a horrible sin. It was a mortal sin, and you would go to hell for taking that momentary pleasure. And so here I am, this little boy. If you see the picture of me on the back of the book, this sort of angelic little boy in a white First Holy Communion suit, devout, idealistic, innocent. I'm thinking, wait a second. I'm going to hell for that momentary experience? That
which
can't
is,
be true.
Which, Joe, is a normal part of the process of living a physical life. And to,
of course it is.
To harm children that way is very sad.
Yeah, so you're loaded down with guilt. And back in those days, there was nobody to talk to. And so what I'm realizing in retrospect is that this repressive sexual morality that I was brought up to believe was, you know, the true morality, actually ironically led me down the path of freedom of thought, because I said, you know, this can't be true. I'm not a bad person. Now, I think like many people, if you're brought up in a strict religious setting, whether it's a Catholic setting or a fundamentalist setting or a Jewish setting, it takes a long time for you to work through all of that, because you're basically separating yourself from everybody that you're growing up with, from the school systems, from your family's values, to a certain extent, and finding your own way. So it can be very painful, but I think it's the path that everybody has to travel down to find what's right for you.
Absolutely. And you know what, Joe? It's not only in terms of understanding the beliefs we were taught in regard to religious factors in our life. It's also about many of the beliefs we were given about a lot of other things that cause patterns of behavior in children, and they later become adults, and they have to work through and realize what works for them. They have to have their own sense of integrity, intuition, and honesty. And the beliefs we were given by others were just that, opinions and beliefs. And no two people are alike. We're each unique. Our fingerprints show that. No two souls are alike. And no two human beings are here on this earth at this moment in time to accomplish the same goals. So why should we have to be burdened by all these negative emotions and lower vibrational energies like jealousy, anger, and fear? Mostly it's about fear. A lot of parents and teachers give children their own personal fears, which are not really necessary. Everyone can discover their own way to approach life. Don't you agree?
Well, I totally agree. Let's take the idea that I was brought up to believe, which is still a central tenet of Catholicism, that suffering is redemptive, that there's something good about it. And I mentioned before guilt about sexuality. You know, I think if something doesn't feel right and if it seems to go against your very spirit as a human being, you really have to question it and find another way. And I think, you know, what I'm really saying in the book is that, you know, if a set of beliefs doesn't support freedom and equality, there's something wrong with those beliefs.
Absolutely.
So let's just take another example, which is, you know, currently in the news. And, you know, there's a lot of support and popularity with regard to Pope Francis. But Pope Francis has come out very strongly against the ordination of women. In fact, he said that that door is closed. Now, when you examine why the Catholic Church says that women can't be ordained, and if you look at their entire history, look, if you're not a priest, you have no authority. So women in the Catholic Church have had no authority for 2,000 years. They base this on just ridiculous things that don't make any sense, like Jesus named the 12 apostles, they were all men. So that means that women can never be priests?
As an intuitive and medium who has a new book coming out, The Living Spirit, I would like to say something here. I kind of instinctively feel that Mary Magdalene and other women who traveled with them and supported them were also considered equal, and perhaps disciples also. But it's an instinctive feeling that I have that she was very valuable and very important to the development.
Well, the gospel stories, which I don't take as history, but if you just want to take those stories as a basis, which the church does, who were the people who were true and loyal to Jesus to the end when he was being executed? It was basically the women.
Right.
All of these guys, you know, with the exception of John, but it's only in his gospel that he says he was there. The others don't mention him. It's the women who stuck by Jesus. But, you know, to say that women can never be ordained because Jesus, you know, named 12 male apostles, or because Paul the Apostle says in Corinthians that women should keep their mouths shut in church and that they have no right to teach men, this is preposterous.
I agree. And I want to go to another appalling condition. We're talking about this, but it's not only in the Catholic Church. It's indeed in all religions. And as a woman, there was a false belief issued by Saint, you mentioned him in your book, Irenaeus. In this quote, nature and the law place the woman in a subordinate condition to a man. What might you say about the idea that women are inferior to men, and what Pope Leo XIII wrote, and I quote what he wrote, "The husband is the ruler of the family and the head of the wife. The woman, as flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, is to be subordinate and obedient to the husband." This is also true in the Orthodox religion, Jewish religion, and of course in the Muslim religion. And what would you offer in terms of this quote?
Well, it goes back to the Adam and Eve story. This is, again, the point that I'm getting to. If you use religion or the Bible to justify bigotry or discrimination, you're wrong. You're just using that as an excuse. Just as in the case that the men who are running the Catholic Church are saying, don't look at us, we don't have authority from God to ordain women. With respect to the idea that women are subordinate to men, they go back to the fairy tale of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They blame Eve, the woman, for, you know, for all of history.
Well, really, that's really sin. Where it started.
That's where it started, really, at the very beginning, you know.
Now, how about say this, that I believe it was God's intention, because things happen just the way they're supposed to. How about if we think that it was God's intention for Adam and Eve to discover their sexuality and to go on to lead a very loving, physical, and joyful life experience here on Earth as physical beings, mm-hmm. because it was good for their soul to develop, and it was also good for their worldly time here on Earth. Mm-hmm. How about if we change the story a little bit? Because it doesn't
I think we need to reinterpret that.
Yeah. It doesn't
these stories.
Serve
well, you
anyone's
know,
agenda to have that
no.
story. And women as being... Women have children. Women love their children, male, female, equally. They bring both into the world. And perhaps it was God's intention, because women are spiritually sound, to give them that gift of childbirth, not to see it as... I have heard men say, oh, I never would want to be a woman. Religious people and other men also, because this is like a horrible job to have to bring a child mm-hmm. into this world. So it's not in the right way of thinking about things, right?
Well, I think I agree. I think that people have a great love of scripture, because they think that they find the truth there, and then they can use that truth as a weapon. And to interpret stories in ways that, again, support their own prejudices and bigotries against people who are different from them, or in the case of women, just systematically throughout history, discriminating against women in every single sense, from viewing women as property, right?
Yes, because the men were physically stronger. That is possibly a fact. Nowadays, of course, many women have developed and are doing the same jobs as men, even
of course.
Physical work. But right. The point being that the agenda was to hold power, to hold land, to hold women, to hold countries, and the agenda of the men who were in power at the time was to keep it exactly that way. And they have for 4,000 years.
Right. But people try to justify things by going to history and saying that's the way they always were. Well, if you look to history, you see barbarism, you see slavery, you see women being treated as property, you see discrimination. We need to be evolving beyond all of that to say that something has always been that way. Marriage has always been between a man and a woman. Well, there's been discrimination against LGBT people throughout history.
Yes.
You know, I think difference and diversity are amazing. For some reason, a lot of people are threatened by people who are different. A lot of people are threatened by, a lot of men are threatened by women. You know, that's what's really going on here. We all know that women are not subordinate to men, and yet that myth is still perpetuated largely through religion. But, I mean, isn't it amazing that women only got the vote in this country in the 20th century?
Mm-hmm. And Obama just said, when he had his address on television the other day, it's time for equal rights, equal pay for women and men.
There still is not equal pay.
No, of course not. There are evolving themes along this line. But let me read something else to you here. In the book, a book that I picked up, In the Church and the Second Sex by Mary Daly, I quote, an element of the misogynistic cast of Catholic moral theology and two other sources of such belief in the Hebrew and Greek philosophy suggest that St. Paul asserted a savagely anti-feminist view of inferiority. This idea served the patriarchal institutions by saying that the idea of women's special sinfulness stemming from commonly held interpretations of the Bible, combined with the notion of her inferior nature affirmed in Aristotelian philosophy, thus made it seem that the sociological fact of women's subordination was inscribed in heaven. That's quite
well. Exactly. I talk about that myself in Papal Bull in the chapter "Where Are the Women," and all of the early church fathers were misogynistic. It was a very patriarchal church. One thing that I point out, though, that you don't hear people talk about that much is that really in the New Testament, if you look at what Jesus is saying and you contrast it against the Apostle Paul, it's almost like two different religions. It's like Paul institutionalized the message, and as part of that institutionalization, he laid the groundwork for the ongoing subordination of women. As I said before, saying that they're not allowed to speak in church, that they have to be subordinate to their husbands, that they have no right to teach men. And these prejudices are being used in 2014 by the current pope and by the previous popes to say, well, women can't be ordained. And they even censured the National Conference of Women Religious, who were representing the nuns in this country, because they came out in favor of the ordination of women and supporting LGBT rights. So, speaking about the current pope is very popular. I don't see him as a reformer for that reason. I think he's introduced a kinder, gentler tone. But with regard to the issues that are most important to a lot of progressive people, like equal rights for women and LGBT rights, there's no possibility that he is going to change anything.
No, absolutely not. And you know, Joe, I want to just say, this is not going to go away. There are too many priests and brave women, and I want to say bravo to these brave priests and women who can see past the ego-minded power leaders and financial agendas of those in any religion that seek to deny a human being, male or female, from aligning to the divine and universal source to fulfill their soul destinies, which is to explore this world using all their God-given spiritual gifts and to manifest what I believe is a loving universal God force. And in a place like heaven, you know, I'm a medium. I'm an intuitive. Mm-hmm. I get lots of information. I know you might not believe in that. I think mm-hmm. at some point you would say, but I get information for people that is accurate, and it's coming from a higher source of life. Call it angels, call it spiritual teachers, call it universal source or God himself. But in a place like heaven or above or where we go, I do also believe that consciousness survives physical death. There are no separations, religions, ethnic or gender biases, only creation and expansion of the human and divine life force. So that is my truth, and that is your truth, because that's what we wish we could see here on earth, heaven on earth, right?
Right. We all want to be free to express ourselves. We want to find our way. We want to be creative. And we don't want to be told that we're somehow inferior to someone else or that we're not worthy. And again, that's what I was saying before. That's a test of the validity of a belief system. If it discriminates, if it propagates or justifies bigotry, if it's not supporting freedom and equality for all people, then it's wrong.
And that's quite simple. Now, you give a quote in your chapter, and true, quite simple and quite on the money. You give a chapter, a quote in your chapter, you don't say, from Saint Isidore of Seville, "The more we are afflicted in this world, the greater is our assurance in the next. The more sorrow in the present, the greater will be our joy in the future." Now, Joe, I'm sorry to say that this remark given by this person is, in my estimation, completely wrong. And this might mm-hmm. be a problem in the tenets of many religions. I don't believe we're born to suffer because our natural state as a soul being is to create our own story and make choices that deal effectively with the human condition and a physical life. So I know we are born to love and find peace and joy, and also what we do in this life in regards to our own personal development and how we relate to others is what's going to be waiting for us beyond this time and place in life beyond here, which is an eternal life. Jesus was right about that. We are eternal souls and energies, and he also said, what I do, you will do, and more. And that statement has stayed with me since the very beginning, 20 years ago, of my recognition that we are very much more than the physical beings that many of us believe us to be. We are this spiritual essence of God, the divine, or universal life. So, yeah.
Well, you're making a similar point to the one that I made before about suffering being redemptive, which is what the Catholic Church has always taught, that it, you know, you should accept your lot in life, be poor, suffer, and you'll be rewarded in the afterlife. It's really just a kind of underhanded totalitarian point of view. Instead of celebrating freedom and encouraging people to overcome where they are, whether economically or educationally, and not to accept the idea that life is a veil of tears, all of that is supported by the institution.
Yes, and it is sad because, you know, sometimes I say to people, it doesn't really matter what you have in the materialistic sense. It's what you're becoming. So if you have a job, for instance, that you might not be 100% thrilled about, do it well. Do it joyfully. And there will become, other opportunities will present themselves. But if you go into a state of anger or unhappiness or belief that this is all you'll ever have, you are creating the law of attraction or using energy to keep yourself in a subordinate role and to keep yourself in an unhappy state. And that is not what I believe that God or that higher universal force wishes. I think they wish us to develop and to grow and to mature, to have our souls mature. But let's go on to something else. In fact, is it wrong to respect other people's religious beliefs? This is a quote in your book from Walter, I don't have his last name here, about, it was published in the Catholic Family News, August 1997. I don't believe I have his last name. It's Walter, and he had a PhD, but he goes on to say, the present emphasis placed on respecting other religions has contributed to indifference, spreading wildfire among the Catholic faithful. Indifference involves believing that one faith is as good as another and that all faiths merit salvation. That sounds good to me. But he goes on to say, the only sound conclusion for all Roman Catholics is to respect only one religion, the true religion, founded by Christ himself, the Roman Catholic faith. To give esteem or regard to other false religions is to betray our Savior as Judas betrayed him with 30 pieces of silver. Oh, here's his name, Edward Waller.
Yeah, that's the old idea that the Catholic Church is the one true church and that you're putting your soul in jeopardy if you actually expose yourself to other ideas. It's another closed totalitarian idea that I think just about everybody has moved beyond, but conservative Catholics and, you know, ironically, you know, conservative radical Islamists believe that. And I'm sure in just about every variety of religion, the purist, the traditionalist believes that they've found the truth. That's another danger. Somebody who thinks they have a corner on the truth and who denies your truth is not to be trusted.
I think that a truly loving person and one attuned to God doesn't need that type of talk. And I think you're right. It's a conservative, orthodox view. And in the changing times that are happening right now, even as you and I speak, it will no longer be accepted. It will no longer be accepted.
And my position is, you know, I wrote a satire. I sort of make fun of things. I try to be funny. But I have respect for everyone's beliefs. I consider myself to be a free thinker, somebody who questions. And I love entertaining different points of view. As I said before, what I oppose is people who take, you know, religion and use it as a kind of weapon against other people and use it to justify bigotry.
Well, that's how it's been used since the beginning of time. And I don't believe that's God's will. I believe that's the will of men who wish to control power finances and the world condition, but it's changing. It is changing so quickly now, and not fast enough for me, because I agree with you.
But it is changing, and it's largely men throughout history who have been trying to maintain control. And I like to say, institutional religion, unfortunately, is often about controlling your brain, your genitals, and your wallet. It's not about freeing your spirit.
No. And this is a show about the spirit and the possibilities and potential of what we can do as human beings and how we can expand not only the human condition, but the spiritual condition of all those in spirit who are continuously learning and sharing with us. It's not over when you leave here. It's just another beginning for learning to be free, as you said. So I want to thank you, Dr. Joseph Wenke, for taking on a topic in your book, Papal Bull, which I believe is quite challenging and sometimes confrontational, but necessary in the examination of religious, social, familial, spiritual, and sexual orientation, offering a new understanding and advancing a more open acceptance for self-discovery by all citizens. This is the way forward, so we may learn to honestly accept and encourage without judgment every living thing. For more information and to purchase Dr. Wenke's new book, go to Joe Wenke, Wenke.org. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, I believe the concern of spiritually minded and evolving citizens is to seek justice and order wherever discrimination, inequality, prejudice, and abominations of any kind exist. That may be in a family situation, business, church, or religious affiliation, school, or anywhere where people in positions of authority make rules and laws that benefit the few and leave others to suffer an inhumane fate. All the guests on my show, Healing From Within, in one way or another, seek to go beyond the belief systems of their childhood days and through education and involvement in worthy causes, hope to reform and to create more authentic and humane ways to live with dignity towards all people and also in personal safety. Often that means talking up and taking on some major institutions which may have concealed knowingly or unknowingly or misunderstood their roles as leaders, and to become innovators for change that must lead us to a more loving way to protect all the members of our world society. Dr. Wenke has offered his own interpretation of the Catholic Church from his own personal experience and seeks, I believe, for others to recognize what may be functional and or dysfunctional in this and, yes, in all religious structures which have not made substantial changes, corrections, and insertions to amend ancient religious beliefs. A quote by Ursula King, a professor of theology at the University of Bristol, is, "We have to uncover much that has been hidden, left out, or forgotten. It means that we have to remake, rewrite, and reinterpret much that has gone for the history of our religious traditions." In my humble opinion, as evolving human beings, it is hard for many to base their trust in perhaps outdated or incorrect dogma and philosophy. Connecting to the source of God, I believe, is indeed a personal journey unique for each of us and may not be restricted by anyone who can profess to know the mysteries of the ancient religions. Religion should be, and it should emphasize, oneness and unity for all. And if it does not do that, then it has missed the mark and needs to be rethought. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in the fields of higher human potential, spirituality, science, the healing arts, and development of higher consciousness, all in search of ways for improving the human condition. Thank you.